you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to Promescent.com. That's Promescent.com. There is not even a promo code. It don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to Promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? This is Ralph Sutton, the SDR Show, a band that I have loved forever. Our Lady Peace's lead singer, Rain, comes on the show and performs live. Really cool dude. Bill Schultz steps in as my co-host. And remember, we do it every Wednesday, every Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. In general, although not always, Wednesdays is Big J Day. Saturdays are the Zooms, but that's not always the case. But I'd say 70-80% of the time that's what happens. So if you like to watch with Big J, usually it's the live Wednesday show. Remember, you can hear every episode 5 days early and commercial free right at gasdigitalnetwork.com. You use the code SDR, you get 20% off access to every episode, the live chat, the forums, and a bunch of other cool stuff just by going to gasdigitalnetwork.com. You get a 7-day free trial, so you can try it out. You don't like it, just cancel it. It's just that easy. But right now, just a great episode. The singer of Our Lady Peace, it's the SDR Show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's weed, I beat, it's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art, you need to know. The SDR Show. Let's go.
It is the SDR Show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again for the first time in a bit, it is Bill Schultz. How are you, buddy?
Thanks for having me, buddy.
I think I never noticed all the nonsensical knickknacks over your shoulder, but don't turn around because your microphone sucks, but they're adorable. Shannon, I brought a new camera for you. Shannon looks pretty in the new camera, I think. You actually look attractive. It's weird. I'm not used to that.
I'll take this camera home with me then.
That was right, like so the opposite of sexual harassment right there.
Is that? I mean, I guess it could be used as sexual harassment, right, Shannon? If you wanted to meet to us, you could meet to us.
It was just offensive, but without the sex part.
That's one of the nicest things I've heard all day, so I'll take it.
All right, fair enough. All right, so now I'm going to say this right off the top. I have been a fan of this band since, it's almost 30 years because I'm old. It's 1992. Is that 30 years ago? It's fucking 30 years ago, right? Jesus Christ.
We don't need to dwell on that.
Which it is the lead singer. Oh, wow, Bill, your fucking microphone is going to drive me nuts. It's lead singer of Our Lady Peace. Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm going to kill you. Maybe unplug it.
I can't.
Yeah, please. I'm going
to
lose my mind. It is Rain Maida. Hey, Rain, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Sorry, Rain, we're normally a little bit more together than this.
I'm so sorry, guys.
I was literally expecting to be more organized than this.
Yeah, it's really bad.
If he takes out the headphones, we're going to hear an echo.
Oh, okay. So let's just try and not move because this is embarrassing. We're a big show.
Okay, you can try taking out just one ear, you know?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Maybe take out your left ear.
Yeah, but it's
how about now?
Let's see. We're fine. We're going to leave it because I don't want to take this guy's time up too much.
I'm so sorry.
He's an important man and we are not. So let's just keep this going. Okay. By the way, we just had another Canadian show guy on. I don't know if you know the band. Do you know the band Grandson?
Love Grandson.
Yeah. Very cool dude. Just had him on. Super nice dude. All right. So now, first of all, before we get into the music, before we get into anything else, the hilarious thing that popped up in my newsfeed today is that you got busted for jaywalking.
Yeah, I did. We played our first show back in this town or city, middle of Canada called Saskatoon. And I don't know, man, I was going to Starbucks or something and there's nobody around, right? There's literally nobody around. And I went to a, and I was crossing in front of a 7-Eleven and a truck stopped in front of me. And so I just dipped in behind it. Mm-hmm. And the cops, there was three cops and they come up to me and I thought they were going to say, hi, hey, how's it going? You know, right. Maybe they recognize me. I'm not that vain, but I was like, this is a little weird. They're walking towards me. And he said, look, you know, I wouldn't normally give you a ticket, but you stopped traffic. I was like, bro, the truck stopped to turn right. I just dipped behind it. I didn't stop anything. Everyone stopped behind him because anyways, like, nope, that's not how we saw. And so I just knew if I was going to argue, it was going to go bad. I was pretty happy just to be in a town where I could play a show and there was no masks. And so I just kind of sat there. But these guys, like, I mean, I don't want to disparage police, but there was three of them. It took them like 20 minutes to write this ticket for me. They didn't even know the cross streets. They're like, where are we? I'm like, guys, I just flew in. I don't know where I am, but you guys should definitely know where you are. And then they gave me the ticket. They gave me the ticket. And then right afterward, they stopped this kid for riding his bike on the sidewalk.
Oh, Jesus. I thought, you know, if I were you and I get pulled over or stopped for jaywalking, I'm going to start humming Innocent or humming Somewhere Out There and hoping they notice me. And they go, oh, shit, we're going to rip up the ticket.
I almost invited him to the show, but I couldn't. It was pretty surreal, but whatever.
Is it the first? I would imagine, because I don't know anyone in my life that has ever gotten a ticket for jaywalking. So that is a first I've ever heard of.
I know. I didn't think that was a thing. I thought it was like a bit of a threat, you know, like be careful crossing the lights. But $100 ticket, man.
That's it too. $100. That's crazy.
I know.
That's really wild. I would have imagined at one point you're like, are we really doing this, guy? Did you try and talk them out of it or you just accepted?
I mean, I was sitting there with like a grin on my face saying like, are we serious? Like, this is, you're really writing something. But then when they started asking each other, like, where are we? What are the cross streets? I was like, you guys are just a bunch of punks, man. This is craziness.
That is really wild. I tell you, though, it's kind of funny. Now you're the badass in the band. You got a record almost, but not really.
I am. Yeah, I do have a, let's say that. I do have a record, so you don't want to mess with me, man. I'm a gangster.
All right, so I will say that I used to be a strip club DJ. I've felt about a lot of times on the show. And some of your songs, like Starseed and Innocent, Anybody Home, like, I would play them incessantly. And it's also, you were part of, and we'll get into the new stuff too, but you were part of the last time rock mattered. You know what I'm saying? Like, rock doesn't really matter anymore. Back then, A, there would be videos played on television, right? B, you would hear your songs on mainstream radio. Radio was still a thing.
Yeah.
You were the last of the guard, like, so to speak. Do you revel in that? Is there something at least you got to experience it?
Yeah, you know what? We did a tour just before COVID with Bush and Live.
That was great.
Yeah, it was called like the ultimate tour, you know? And I think it was a great reminder of like, yeah, man, those were really good times. Like, you know, I hope we didn't take those for granted. I know we didn't. I enjoyed it all. Even watching the Woodstock doc the other day, I was like, damn, shit got crazy. But that was an amazing time for rock music. And it's music in general is just way different today. So I'm really psyched that we were able to go through that.
You touched on it. I was going to bring it up, but you obviously played Woodstock back then. How much of that do you feel was an accurate representation of how things were going down? If it was a narrative created by the director, like, I was going to, you know, bring that up at some point, but you just walked us into it. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah. I mean, documentaries, you know, they're meant to be sensationalized. So we were there. We got there like Saturday early, you know, just as like sun was setting, saw Rage, saw Metallica. It was pretty cool. I mean, there, you know, water was expensive. It was hot, definitely. Like, holding on a tarmac probably wasn't a great idea, knowing that, you know, it could be like 100 degrees, but I didn't feel like it was crazy. And we played on the Sunday afternoon, you know, around like 3 o'clock after Willie Nelson, I think. And it wasn't until then that it felt like, you know what, people are just a little bit over it. And it, you know, it, those kind of things, it just takes a few people to start like the real shit. And that's when it went down and we got out of there just before it went crazy. But again, like the doc, like, I'm not saying it was good. They, what, I don't know what the word is. the corporate kind of feel around that Woodstock was not cool. Right. And I think it started to like permeate around the grounds by the end of the weekend. And I think literally like the most disruptive thing was the fact that water was like, I think it was, I don't know, $4 or $5. And back then for a bottle of water, it's like, what's happening? And you couldn't bring your own stuff in. So that was like, whoa, what's happening?
Right.
But yeah, man, it you know, it's a mess. And I'm not going to deny a lot of that bad stuff obviously happened. It's on record. But I think if you're to look back at the whole weekend, like 80% of the weekend and 80% of the people there were just, you know, having a great time watching a lot of music.
And if you felt safe even before you were a badass jaywalker, it must have been safe.
Yeah, I was jaywalking that weekend all over Buffalo, man. I was crazy.
You were throwing down. Jesus.
Yeah, I was.
That's insane. So now I want to get into the new album and the new single, but I don't want to talk about that yet. At first, I'm fascinated because this has to be a rarity. You are married 20 years? Is that about right?
Yeah.
All right, to a woman who, I mean, look, I'm it's pretty wild. You have kids, but you also, you think it's three kids, right? Three sons?
Yeah, yeah, three boys.
And she is a songwriter in her own right. Her name is Chantel. I'm not going to even try and pronounce her last name because I don't know how. But you've been together since 99. But what's interesting, and I'm going to kind of preface this, and yeah, I'd love you to elaborate more. You wrote a song together that went very easy.
Yeah.
And then you're like, hey, that was fun. Let's do a record. And then it took 2 years because that magic was out. And it led to a documentary and a whole thing about a husband and wife trying to balance family and singing together, etc.
Exactly. And this is how I know that Woodstock doc, like they could have taken in so many different ways. Cause when in the editing booth, when you have all that footage, you can do whatever you want. The thing with our thing. So my wife, Chantel, she's an incredible artist. Signed at Columbia, you know, tons of songs that, you know, in movies.
Yeah. She wrote with like Drake and Gwen Stefani. She's not fucking around.
But then she writes songs for other people as well, right, and produces. Yeah. And yeah, she's a badass. So yeah, from Kendrick to Gwen to Britney and Drake and, you know, just a whole slew of people. We've written in sessions for other people before, but never really wrote a song together. So finally, I don't know why, but yeah, a few years ago, we wrote this song called I Love It When You Make Me Beg, like late at night in the studio. And it just kind of like was channeled through us. I'm like, damn, this is like one of the best songs I've ever been a part of. We should probably think about like making an album. And we're like, sure, we'll just do this. Like, you know,
do this 10 days in a row and we're done.
Or not even, I was being realistic. I was like, we'll do this once a week for a couple months and we have 8 or 10 songs. It's done. 2 years later, nothing, like literally not one song. So a friend of ours, who's a movie producer here in LA, was like, look, I get you guys. I see it. It's like, just there's from touring and doing your, you know, with Our Lady Peace and Chantel doing her writing and touring yourselves and kids and dogs and all this other stuff. It's like, it's never going to happen. You guys need to literally go away to like an island. And she said an island. And the summer before, there's this French island off the coast of Canada. It's owned by France. I was invited there to play a festival and it was amazing. Like, it's like this tiny little fishing village. You know, there's no one speaks English, croissants. And like, it was a trip. I was like, you know what? That's where we should go. The problem was we went there in January when I played the festivals, obviously in summer, it was beautiful in June, but January we got off the plane and everybody was getting on the plane. We're the only ones getting off. And cause they all leave, they go back to France in the winter. Cause it's like, it's horrible. And so it was tough and we got it all on film. But at the end of the day, it was like, we made this album. We came back and we recorded it here at Rick Rubin's place, Shangri-La in Malibu. But the writing of it was tough because it was like, we were isolated far away from our kids here in LA. It was like 3 flights, 5,000 miles. And it was just brutal. But I'm going to go, my wife will disagree if she was here, but I've never written a song when I'm happy anyway. So I thought it made it for a lot of good music.
It'd be cool if like some of the titles are Leave the Fucking Toilet Seat Down, This Was a Goddamn Mistake, you know, things that would be great if those were all the titles on the song.
Those are really the subtitles, to be honest.
We should have been divorced in 2004.
It
got to the point where you guys were, and now I've not heard this term before, maybe, and you could explain the difference, but it got to the point where, as you referred to it, as you guys were seeing a marriage coach, not a counselor, a coach. What is the difference on that? Is there a whistle?
Yeah, man, I'm Italian. Like the thought of seeing, you know, soprano style, like seeing a therapist doesn't go well in the neighborhood, right?
Right.
So, yeah, this guy's like, he's up in Sonoma. And he calls himself a marriage coach, and I don't know, it just sits better. The way he talks to us too, and you got to do the work no matter what, but it's just much more for me. And Chantel digs it, and I can get through it, and I understand. It's kind of like watching film. You know, my boys, one of my top. My oldest kid's like a baller. He plays basketball on like a national EU team. And, you know, they always study film. It's kind of the same thing. Like the way this guy goes about it. It's like, yeah, let's tape a conversation or argument he has. And we look back. I'm like, oh, man, my face. I look like I'm about to kill someone. Like, I didn't know I looked like that. So it's all good. And we show that in the film. We just because we felt like we had all this footage. And it's like we can't just show, oh, wow, they're brilliant. They just came up with this song. It's right. Like, no,
who wants to watch that? You want to see the shit.
Exactly. So we show the big fight beforehand. Chantel cries. We kind of make up while we're writing this song and we record it. And, you know, that's kind of the way it goes. But it's all real. I you know, people dig it because they feel like it normalizes like everyone. Like life isn't perfect. Anyone that's in a relationship for a long time, it's like you go through this shit.
Well, let me ask you this. So like when you do listen to those tracks, do those moments come into your head? Like, oh, that's when we fucking, she said she was going to tell the world I had a small penis, like that kind of stuff. Like, does it immediately conjure up in your head those images?
Yeah. There's a song that we show, like literally we get in a fight. I think tears are shed. And then we write this song that I came up with the lyric, like, and we capture that, like literally from the little piano part that Chantel plays, cause she was sad and bummed out and, but still sitting at the piano playing. Then I start strumming guitar and I wrote this lyric saying I can change. And I'm like, okay, you know, like I better do this or I'm probably going home alone. And so that's the song. It's born on film. It's pretty dope. Like I'm pretty proud of it. And I you know what, when you've been in a relationship for this long, I'm not embarrassed by anything at this point. I get it. Probably right. Wouldn't have done it 10 years ago, but at this point it's like, whatever. And I dig that people see themselves in it.
And the album is called Moon Versus Sun. The documentary is called I'm Going to Break Your Heart. It was going to come out. It got delayed. Like, what's actually, like, what's the release like?
Yeah, now, you know, COVID just put everything back. So we're just talking to different, it's available on, like, on iTunes for sure. And we're talking to a bunch of different people on, like, a wider distribution. But, if you want to rent it on iTunes, it's do it. I'll give you your money back if you don't like it.
Wow, that's a bold statement. Let me ask you this, though. Do you think... Forget about the music aspect of it for a second. The documentary, do you think it could help people in relationships? Like, do you think that that's being discovered there as well?
Yeah, we're actually doing that. We're doing a podcast tomorrow with a couple. I'm not going to go with the names, but we've done a few now. I'm not even going to call it a podcast because everyone's got a podcast, but I don't want to compete with you guys. But it's like these little shorter segments where we dig into that stuff with a couple. You know, that either works together or just gets it. And it's just kind of cool conversation because I think, especially with COVID, man, people are struggling, right? It's been tough. Yeah. Even for me, I've never been in this house for a year straight with Chantel. She's tough, man. It's been trouble.
Let me ask you, I'm imagining that it came through Chantel, though. I could be wrong. I saw you that you co-wrote songs for a shitload of American Idol and Canadian Idol people. Like Kelly Clarkson, Dave Cook, Carrie Underwood, like all these American Idol people, did that come through Chantel? Like, how did those come about?
Yeah. I just tagged along with her.
That's fair enough. Did they come for Chantel and ended up with Rain?
Actually, Carrie, I think, came. She was a fan of OLP. So, yeah, it's different things. Like, that was a weird time, man. It was like, you know, we got into like writing for people, and then all of a sudden American Idol thing happened and they really caught on to like what we're doing. And so they just kept sending people over, but you know, Cook was a fan. Daughtry was a fan. Kelly knew all Chantel stuff. And yeah, I think there was a lot of genuine, like it wasn't just work. Like they wanted to come, you know, collaborate with people that they like, artists actually, rather than some songwriter that does it for hire kind of thing. Right, that's not cool.
Let me ask this. With Our Lady Peace, did you legitimately coin the acronym OLP? Because it really doesn't flow off the tongue. Did it just kind of happen? Like, it's not like it was, if it was Our Lady Ding Dong, I don't know, so it'd be old, you know, like it would flow. But OLP doesn't necessarily flow, but it's definitely the way you see it all the time. Did that just kind of get thrusted upon you guys, or did you think about that consciously?
yeah, man, the fans did it. So I just go by the fans, you know. But I don't agree with you, Ralph. Like STP, OLP. Well,
I guess it, right? STP, I just knew from the oil company. That's why that made sense to me, you know.
Yeah, that was already there, right, in the vernacular, yeah. I guess. Yeah. I look, we just, again, like, yeah, I don't know if you ever do that stuff on purpose, but fans just started doing it shorthand. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's less syllables, I guess, right? No, it's not less syllables, same amount of syllables, but one less syllable.
Is it?
Yeah, OLP and Our Lady Peace. So one
there,
extra syllable.
The two on the
so there we go. We just saved ourselves countless hours over the years.
Yep.
And you know, you should edit yourself.
All right, before we go any further, if you are over 21, let me tell you about Yo Kratom. You know who they are. They are the home of the $60 kilo. That is right. If you are currently a fan of Kratom, you can get it from our newest sponsor, Yo Kratom. They've been with us for a while now. $60 kilo. You cannot go wrong. High quality curated Kratom at YoKratom.com. A ton of different varieties. You know, sometimes you go to the gas station, go to the bodega. That might have been sitting there for a year more. So why not go directly to the wholesaler? Greatest prices you're going to find. $60 a kilo. YoKratom.com. They even have some special blends that are created by them, for them only. And I've said it many times, Shannon loves one of those blends. She does it all the time. So if you're a fan of Kratom, there's nowhere else to go but Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. All right, let's get back into it. Let me ask you this, and we're going to get into the new album, but there was a character, a dude, that was on the first few records. His name is Saul Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you explain the story behind that a little bit? Because I was always curious about it, and I didn't find much about it online.
He was like a kind of like a small actor from Toronto. And when we were shooting our first album cover, there's something about like the journey of like a band in a basement rehearsing and then all being signed to Sony and getting to make an album. And like that journey just felt like, oh my God, at the end of it, when we were talking about what are we going to do for an album cover? It was like, wow, we just gained so much wisdom as artists. Like you grow so much in that year and a half, the time from like, nobody knows you till all of a sudden you have a record done. And so we wanted to have a figure that would kind of like exploit some wisdom. And so we're looking for like the right face. And we're also going to put, if you look at our first album, The V, there's like birds all over this guy that's naked. Mm-hmm. And so we had to find a guy to do it. And so Saul kind of came by and we met him, and he was that guy. Like he was an artist. He was a musician. He just had this sensibility about him. And I was like, you know what, man, like this guy is, I don't want to say like a good luck charm, but we just connected with him so well. And then we just used him for the next four albums. We brought him to like, we did a shoot. Damn, we almost killed him on Staten Island. We did a shoot. It was like 300 degrees. And he wore this big, those old school diving helmets, like the brass helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And he literally fell over on the beach and we're like, oh shit, he's dead. This is horrible. But yeah, he became like this fluent person that we just wanted to kind of represent the band on the album cover. Now he's passed away, but we brought him back for Spiritual Machines 2, which he was also on the cover of.
Right. He's on the cover. So now that's what I was asking. You say he's not, I'm sure he's not alive now. So that's what you found a picture of maybe from a past photo session and brought that to 2?
We did, exactly. The cool thing is though, because the whole NFT space and like digital assets and digital art is blew my mind. I actually got choked up. But the artist who did the covers for Spiritual Machines 1 also did the same thing for Spiritual Machines 2. And he's into, you know, the NFT space as well. So we did the cover and I was like, wow, it's amazing. It's Saul, you know, it's like memory of him. But then on the cover, he's holding a flower and you can see his full body. And then our artist, Ollie Goldsmith, the guy's name, he brought him to life and he walks.
Oh, wow. Like,
oh my God. It was so heavy to watch Saul walking, you know, in 2021. It was really cool.
That's pretty wild. So you touched on this. I wasn't going to get into it later, but we're trying to make these as organic as possible. You're like an app guy, a tech guy. You built an app that was basically Citizen before Citizen, called Record Mob, right? And now you're involved in the NFT space as well, correct? With that company, I think it's called Sing, but it's exclamation point.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, tech is like, been a side hustle for me. I love it. It's creative. You got to have hustle. It's all the same stuff as being a musician, but I just love technology in the sense of like when it really disrupts an industry and changes our lives for the better. Mm-hmm. So I've always been about like the independent artist and how do we connect, you know, directly to fans. So it's funny, like that Citizen thing, the first app that I developed like 6 or 7 years ago called Recomod was basically live video streaming crowdsourced. So we were at like Trump rallies or what women's rights rallies, whatever. And people would just post stuff live on Recomod. Mm-hmm. And it was this cool thing. And, you know, it's so busy and it's hard to really do a lot of things, but you know, I don't know if I'm sure Citizen rip it off, even though it looks the same, but
there's another one now called Neighborhood too. You don't know if your Neighborhood's another big one now.
No, but I mean, I love the idea. So I'm happy someone's doing it on the NFT space. You know, this is a bigger deal because I'm pretty like, I'm down with it. I think this is like, you know, the DSPs like Spotify's and Apple, they're great. I use them, but they don't pay shit. And right. They can tell you that themselves. And any artist in the world will tell you that the rates suck and it's taken revenue away from artists. It doesn't matter. It was going to change anyway. Like digital, being able to get music digitally it's the way it was going to go. So you can't fight it. So I don't spite them. But now with NFTs, this shit is real. If you are an artist, you can bitch about like, oh, the carbon footprint of blockchain and mining is too big right now. And this is for the elite because it's just Blouse and Steve Aoki's making these big bags of money and it's only for the 1%. That shit is all bullshit. We need to leverage it. You can't afford as an artist not to take advantage of what blockchain and NFTs have. We're not there yet, right. But it's going to happen. Yeah. And you've got to get on that train, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Bill, you have a question I can tell.
What changes have you already noticed in the industry because of this?
I mean, the way we're going to release this OLP record, we're, you know, Kings of Leon did an NFT release, but it was shitty. It was like, they just tried to grab that Rolling Stone story and it was like a VIP pass. It was nothing. And the art sucked. What we're going to do with OLP is we're basically going to give, and this is going to happen in like the next month, because it's not going to hit Spotify and Apple till like late October. But in September, we're going to give our fans the ability to buy the record, high res wave files. We're going to, for each song, you're going to get a demo. You're going to hear the demo of that song as well. You're going to get a collectible one of one album cover. So each album cover you get will be the only version of that. So there's going to be little changes on every album cover for like 10,000. And you know, a bunch of other stuff as well. You can call unlockables, but you know, maybe we'll throw in like a physical, like a vinyl in there that's signed as well and some other stuff. But you know, whatever you buy is going to be yours. It's going to be collectible and you're going to get the album before anyone else because it's yours, man. So
let me ask you, what do you think of the idea of changing the acronym from OLP to a word and just call it OLP?
OLP, yeah. It's just awkward, right? I know we went there.
Let me ask this.
Sound effect in a Charlie Brown cartoon. Yeah.
Because you're a tech guy, here's my brilliant idea. Feel free to steal it. Okay. Where it's called I Was There. And everybody that goes to a show that films it nowadays, nobody ever fucking watches it, right? They all upload it to the same space. And then you can pick shots and create your own master from the 50 or 1,000 people that were there and then get the soundboard quality audio and mix it all together. So everybody could create their own unique video based on the 100 people that filmed the same show from different seats in different locations.
Yeah, I like that.
Feel free to steal.
We should probably just like full disclosure here. So there's like we don't have any competition clauses here, but another app I have called Drops with 2 R's basically does that. It's like we're launching that at some festivals in October here in the US. And it's basically, you're going to get moments like great high res, great sound quality moments, kind of like NBA Top Shots, if you guys follow that, where it's, you know, a LeBron dunk or a Giannis dunk, but from 3 different cameras, and people are paying lots of money for that shit. So I feel like, you know, fans, like you said, everyone's not really watching the show. They're holding their phones up and what they get is probably a little distorted and shaky, and you got some guy singing at a key next to you that ruins the moment. So the ability to give people actual moments when they leave, and other things as well. We're going to do that with the Drops app really soon too.
I know
changing, man. Like, it's changing. Artists got the power again.
There was a time where I think it was going to be Clear Channel where they were going to sell the soundboard of the show as you were walking out on USB, but it never happened. But I think it would be a great idea to see whatever you just got right off the soundboard. I would, any show I've ever been to, I would buy that for sure.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, because NFTs, because they have a timestamp, it's like you can build scarcity into it. It's like, it's real. Like, we're, this is all going to change for artists. I'm super excited about it.
It's cool because it finally feels like this. I hate to use the hacky word disruption, but it finally feels like
these
industries that have been holding on for so long are finally being disrupted to where it is truly in the artist's hands now, which it never was before. The only negative is you still need to have a fan base, really. You know, it's got like, that was the one thing that albums did sort of do, is really push you out to maybe people that wouldn't see you. Nowadays, it's on you. Although TikTok is good with getting it to people that maybe don't follow you, which I like that algorithm for that. To get into the album, Spiritual Machines 2, which is 21 years later, right, from the original Spiritual Machines, loosely based on the book Age of Spiritual Machines. Was that intentional from the get-go, or who was behind that? Like, who inspired, how did the book inspire who? You know what I mean? Was it you?
Yeah, well, our guitar player brought the book into a session when we were making that record really early on. And I was just like fascinated with it. It's like, I'm not going to lie, man. It's not an easy read. Mm-hmm. I had to go through it a few times. But the stuff that Ray Kurzweil started talking about, especially as a musician and like music being made by AI, which it is now. Like there's an app called, is it Boomy or something, where it just creates songs that are algorithms. Mm-hmm. And those songs are making tons of money off Spotify. It's ridiculous. So it really got into like Ray predicting all these things, and you can't help but being interested in the future. It's like, shit, this stuff's really crazy. So yeah, it inspired like all the writing on that record, and definitely the lyrics. So it's kind of cool, like 20 years later, to go back and see what Ray got right, what he got wrong. And, you know, I think it's almost like necessary, you know, and without giving it away, that dude is pretty smart. He didn't get much wrong.
That's pretty wild. You mentioned your guitar.
Surprised you on what he got right?
I mean, look, he got everything right. The truth is he got everything right. The only thing, and he's such a crazy perfectionist, because we, you know, he's on the record again. Like he has these little, he talks before songs and does new predictions, talks about the old predictions. But the only things that he got wrong, really, it wasn't wrong in terms of what it will do to society or culture and what the invention was. It was like, oh, he was off by a couple of years. Like driverless cars. It's like he said it would happen by now. It is, but it's not like widespread. So he considers that like, oh, I got it wrong. I'm like, bro, you didn't get it wrong. Like, you're right. It's just, we're off.
Yeah, you're 5 years off. Big fucking deal. You mentioned that your guitarist brought it. There's rumors. I don't know if it's been determined or you can or can't say. You are right now currently the only original member still in the band, and that you had said in an interview years ago you wouldn't do it without Mike. But then there's rumors that he's back in the album, and there's rumors that he's not. You can't say or you can say?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. There's no way we could have made Spiritual Machines 2 without including Mike.
All right. Well, that pretty much answers it, I would say, in one way, shape, or form. It's good enough. And Dave Siddick from TV on the Radio got involved with this record. I know you've been a big fan. Did you reach out to him? Did he reach out to you? How did that come about?
No, I had to like beg him. He was like, you know, Our Lady Peace. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I'm just not there right now. And I was like, you have to listen to this song. It was a demo of Stop Making Stupid People Famous. And I just knew like, whatever you think, wherever you're going musically, and he's like way out there. He's a mad genius. He's like one of the most musical guys I've ever met. I was like, there's something in this song that I promise you, you'll dig. And he said no. And I told my manager, just make sure I'm fine with no, as long as I know that he heard the song. So the manager finally kind of said, yeah, you know what? He hasn't heard the song. Let me make sure he listens to it. So he listened to it like 10 minutes later. It was like, okay, tell Rain to come up to the studio.
That's cool.
And we came like fast friends. And it's like, it's funny because what we talked about earlier on, we were saying like rock music has changed. This is essentially like an anti-rock record, but there's tons of guitar on it. So it was like we couldn't have, there's no way we would have been able to reinvent ourselves like this without Dave.
I would say that to me, it sounds like just from the song, I haven't heard anything else. It's a rock record, but not a rock record. Like it's a rock record without being a rock record, if that makes any sense. It has like, which, you know, I've heard a few people compare it to that, but it does have a little bit of a Talking Heads vibe. It's very rhythmic. It's got a great vibe to it. And it features Pussy Riot, which had that big shit with a few years ago. But
yeah,
how did that come about?
So it's crazy, man. So that company I was telling you about, the tech company Recordmom, the live sourcing, like crowdsourcing protests and shit. Mm-hmm. When we were launching that app at South By, we're like, we need, you know, this is for creators. Who would be a great, you know, musician to come, like, you know, play at the party, the launch party? And I was like, damn, probably Nadia. Like, she's a badass. This is what she's about. Obviously, she was in jail. She did a protest and ended up in jail. That's basically what the app was.
Right.
So, yeah.
And now you've got some mutual street cred with your recent crime.
Yeah, she was like, way to go. You are a gangster, right? I was in jail for 3 months and you got a ticket for jaywalking.
Were there any anecdotes that stuck out as far as her time in jail or just the overall climate in Russia, period, that she mentioned that sort of made your skin crawl?
She's just like, yeah, I mean, she is totally anti-Putin, anti-government, very pro-Russia because that's where she's from. And like members of Pussy Riot are actually still in jail there, like today,
wow.
which is crazy. So
unbelievable.
It's for her, it's like this ongoing battle that she is, you know, she's in the video with us. We spent some great time with her and she's just nonstop. Like she lives it, you know, she has a life outside of it as well. And if you follow her on Instagram and stuff, it's like, but she is a badass. She is the real deal. And yeah, it's an honor. So we just, when she heard the song as well, you know, this is years later since Recordmom, but it was like, I'd love to do this. So it was an honor to have her on.
I know you're going to
worry about like people messing with her food or being followed or anything like that. I mean, we kind of know how they operate, particularly with her.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to like scroll back, but, Navalny was the guy that was poisoned, that was running against Putin, right? That was a big deal. They were very, I mean, yeah, that's really, it's on the money, Bill, because they're definitely have their feelers out and are always wary of that shit.
Wow. Bill, you want to be her taste tester going forward to make this easier?
Look, I'm a beggar, not a chooser. If there's a solid paycheck in it,
why not, right? All right, before we continue, if you're an auto mechanic, a super cool do-it-yourself guy, or just some dude or chick who likes to work on their cars, I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best possible prices. It's your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. rockauto.com has been in the business for 20 years, and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order the parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, and never have quite what you need. And then after all that hassle, we'll still charge you storefront markups. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy right now, go to rockauto.com and check out the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun just looking at all the car parts. Once again, it's rockauto.com. There is not even a promo code needed because their pricing is already that freaking good. But when you do order, please make sure you tell rockauto.com you heard about them on the SDR show. Rockauto.com. Let's get back into it. Now, I know you're going to play the song live acoustic, which I'm excited to hear, but my question to you, I also heard one last question. We'll get into it. You guys started all jazzed up to be getting this record out, and then COVID hit. Did you delayed the release because of COVID, I imagine, right? That's what happened?
Yeah.
So it's been done, and it's sitting.
Yeah, we kind of just were able to take our time. Like, we were able, you know, if COVID didn't hit, then we were going to put it up, because we were playing Stop Making Stupid People Famous on that Bush live tour, and people were digging it. They never heard it before live. It's like, you know, new songs live are like, maybe. Yeah. But people were hyped about it. So we were psyched to go quick, and then COVID hit. So it was cool. Like, we just got to take our time. And, you know, the way you record when it's virtual, because I stopped going up to Dave's place just because, you know, to be safe. We needed to, like, we're just trading tracks, you know, like building a song virtually takes more time. So it was fine.
So it allowed you time maybe to retool some of the things that maybe you wouldn't have if the COVID didn't hit.
Yeah, probably. Just gave, like, Dave is the way Dave worked, like Siddick is just insane. So, you know, he'll start working at like 3 a.m. and work to 3 p.m. And so it takes a minute. Like when you go that hard, he would send me something like 5 days later, and then I would sing it 3 days later. And then it's, you know, it's this elongated process, but I do appreciate it. Cause kind of when you go into like a band setting, when you go into a studio for 3 weeks to record a record, I know for me, I usually have regrets because it's like, shit, we rushed that or we forced mm-hmm. something, but you know, it's just like, you're doing it and you're trying to get out of there. And so this way it's like, I listened to this record for the first time. I was in with my kid in Alabama at a basketball tournament back in April. And I listened to the record. I was like, damn, I don't have one, like literally don't have one regret. That's a note, cool. a sound, anything.
I regret almost everything in my life. So let's.
Yeah, me too. Up until this record.
That's good to know. All right. So you're going to do the song live right now. Acoustic, correct?
I mean, yeah, kind of.
Wow. Don't get too excited there, Rain. Sorry.
It's tough. You know, it's tough. It's a little condensed version, but I don't know. You guys tell me if it's okay. That sound all right?
Yeah, I think we have to mute ourselves though, right, Shannon? All right, Bill, we got to mute ourselves.
Okay.
Hold on.
I got the feeling we were dreaming when the panic sets. And we keep making stupid people famous, now we're paying for that. We look for meaning on the ceilings while we lie in our beds. And blame our parents and our therapists for clouding our heads. Oh yeah. I know you got it. We're working hard on the dream. I know you got it. We're working hard on the dream. I know you got it. I'm ceremoniously. We're working hard on the dream. Hey, all right. Tell me how you're living. And hey, you're right. Tell me how you're with me. I got the feeling we were dreaming when the shit hit the fan. And we keep making stupid people famous, now we can't take it back. I know you got it, we're working hard on a dream. I know you want it, we're working hard on a dream. I know you got it, I'm ceremoniously. But we're working hard on a dream of me. You're right to tell me how you're living. Oh, and hey, you're right to tell me how you're with me. I'm working hard on a dream.
Now let me ask you this.
That's the radio podcast edit.
That's fine. I like that. Obviously, I don't want to invoke any real names, but there are people that are known, that are famous for being famous, and I assume that was the motivation behind that. As much as I'd like to think it was written about me, it was written about those type of people. Am I right to assume that?
I'm assuming and hopeful that we all have those people that we see in our feeds and can't get away from every day that we wish we could. That's it.
You know, I did a little research on this. I don't know, Bill, it's kind of funny. Who do you think was credited as the first person to become, quote, famous for being famous?
Paris Hilton.
Way before that.
Oh, wow.
Way, way, way before that. Because I figured, in my head, I figured there had to be girls or guys in the 50s and 60s that were popular. And people like, why? They never did a movie. They never really that popular. And somehow they're popular. Like, you might remember, you and I, dude, even though you look fucking 15 years younger than me, we're the same age, but you might remember there was a girl named Angelina, and she took a big billboard in LA. You know, she just had she did nothing, right? But she was famous for that. But it goes back even further. The first girl ever known to be famous for not doing anything, Zsa Zsa Gabor.
No kidding. What about Green Acres? Well, that was her.
No. But doesn't she play?
She ended up. Guitar? No. That's not Zsa Zsa.
That's Ava.
So she was the first credited. She ended up getting into movies and stuff down the road, but she was like a starlet for no reason. And then, so she was the first. I just, when I heard the song, it made me curious, and I just went on a deep dive and looked into it.
That's cool. I mean, the irony, right, is like, it's actually a talent now to become famous without doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, that's all social media. That's all social media. Yeah, so that's what I mean. I always feel like, look, at a much lesser degree me than you. You are a talented musician. You learned how to play instruments. You write songs and become famous in a very small field where very few people become famous. I did radio for 15 years where there was only 5 radio jobs in New York. That it was very difficult. Now, anyone that has a good set of tits could go on Instagram and get far more followers than me. Shannon. Nothing. Okay, and so it just... It's an amazing time that can happen. But in a way, it's also a good thing because you're taking control away from the powers that be.
For real. Yep. I don't agree with that part of it. It is real and everyone gets to earn, man. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, I think it's wild. Just like also, like take OnlyFans, right? Was that a dog or a cat that just went by you?
The dog.
Okay.
Puppy, COVID puppy, man.
You take OnlyFans, there's probably a million girls on OnlyFans, but there's like 10 that figured out how to make money at it. Same thing with Instagram. Yeah. There's 10 that, you know, there's 1,000 out of 10 million that figured out how to create an audience. So there is a skill to that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I had that skill.
Yeah, me too.
All right. So then the last couple of things I want to talk about, then we'll wrap this up. Tell me a little bit about the War Child that you do.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a charity. Like, it's funny because, you know, we've been to Afghanistan, we've been to Iraq. All these places. So see what's going on in these war-torn countries. They're all about the kids. Like they just try to, like what's going on in Afghanistan right now. It's like the kids are the ones that will really suffer. And if they don't, you know, I think everyone's a little bit more up to speed on mental health, but that is like being sacrificed right now with these young kids, right, that are experiencing all this trauma there. And you got to deal with that stuff now. Otherwise, they just don't have a life ahead of them. And so War Child has always been about just trying to protect and serve, war affected children. So we just been, you know, part of that charity since we got into music, really. And wow. Great people, great programs, big supporters, help raise money every year for them. So kind of simple.
And why, by the way, is there something going on in Afghanistan I didn't hear about?
Yeah, they got a hockey team. They got an NHL team.
Oh, thank God. That's good. Good for them.
Vegas, why not Afghanistan?
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them. All right, it's time, Shannon. We're going to do the first.
The first time ever I saw concert to drugs, had sex.
The name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR show. We ask every guest about their first experience with all three. We start with rock and roll, meaning the first concert you went to on your own volition. Hopefully we know them. Maybe they're Canadian. We never heard of them. I don't know. But hopefully we've known them. The one that you think, the first one that you went to saying, I want to go see that show.
I bet it was Van Halen.
It is Van Halen.
Whoa.
Hell yeah. Well, you guys toured with them too. That must have been surreal.
Yeah, it was weird, right? Because I saw 1984, you know? And so that was with Roth. And then when we toured him, it was Sammy, and he wasn't cool. He tried to kick me off the tour.
Are you serious?
Yeah, for like, I don't know. Like we played, I don't know, I can't remember. I think we played in Boston, and he came up to me and he was like, look, man, like you got to try to get, like people are literally standing there giving me the finger the whole time while I'm singing, right? And that was the thing. Like we talked to, when we first got the tour, I didn't want to do it. I was like, I love the band, but like this is going to be hell for us. We're doing great on our own, selling out clubs, like everyone's stage diving, like this is our audience, it's young, it's cool. And the record company's like, dude, you're going on tour with Van Halen. So, but Sammy was like, you know, he's a party guy. He's like, you got to get the crowd into. I'm like, dude, that's not me. I'm not you. I'm not wearing like shorts on stage. I don't have that in me. We're just different people. I wasn't criticizing. I was like, it's just not me. You asked me to be on this tour. Why are you now you telling me to be like a juggler? I think he got fed up the next night and was like, these guys are done. But then we were buddies with Eddie and Alex and they're like, you're not going anywhere. This is cool. We'll work it out. And look, friends with Sammy now, and he's a talented motherfucker. First of all, it's just a different vibe, you know?
That's pretty wild. And so you went to when you went to go see the concert, how old were you?
14, 1984.
Wow. And were you playing music at that point or not yet?
No, it was like 2 years later, I started learning to play it, but I was such a fan and I knew I wanted to be a musician. I don't know if my parents couldn't afford a guitar. I didn't ask for one, but I work construction every summer. So out of a piece of plywood, I've got to have a picture somewhere. I cut out Eddie's guitar, painted it red and used like hockey tape to do all the stripes. and I would do air guitar on this real, like it looked like a real guitar.
That's really cool. Great. That's really cool.
What was the difference in vibe between touring with them and then Guns N' Roses? I don't know how similar the time was.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like literally we would hang out with Alex all the time and Eddie all the time, like just in catering on stage. Even Sammy too, you know, when we finally became like friends, it was like those guys were just pretty normal and like accessible. Guns N' Roses, man. I know that Duff's like a fan of OLP, but we never saw those guys and I don't think they saw each other. Like it was, you know, it's such a big business and I, you know, those guys, I'm sure there's baggage there like we all have and they're great live. Like they sounded amazing, but it's a different vibe. Yeah.
That's pretty wild. That's pretty wild. So now the first drug you ever did, we say after weed, unless weed was not your first drug.
Yeah. I mean, it was weed with something. It was laced with something, you know, some sort of whatever. And that was the last time I experimented with that kind of stuff or not knowing what you're doing.
Right. Fair enough.
Well, I know you were a big beat poet fan. And I'm wondering, do you find uppers to be better for the creative process or maybe more depressants like, say, weed or something like that or none?
I'm a big edible guy just for like more medicinal, like sleeping and stuff like that. So, yeah, like I can't get creative on stuff like that. So definitely uppers. And you know, tomorrow I'm doing the podcast with Fred Minnick, who's a big bourbon and whiskey guy. And I can't wait for that. I that's kind of my thing, to be honest. Like I love like scotch and bourbon and whiskey.
I really wish I could learn to appreciate alcohol. I drink it for the sole purpose of getting drunk. And I hate the way it tastes. You know, I never would drink alcohol. Like, oh my God, I could really go for a single malt scotch, right? That's never, those words are never coming out of my mouth. And I don't know why that is. And I'm crazy about food and the nuance of food. And dude, I would think it's a small leap to alcohol.
It's really close, especially when you get into good stuff like that, because it is like the nuances and all that shit. Took me a long time to learn. I'm not a pro at it all, but I definitely like, you come off stage and like you crave a nice, like, you know, a nice scotch just to chill out. And I love that it's like you can drink it slowly. Like, again, I'm not pounding drafts to get blitzed, you know?
Right. I mean, Bill, I know you like to drink. Shannon, is there any alcohol that you actually enjoy the flavor of? Like, oh, I really want a blah, blah, blah.
I don't think so. I think I just tolerate it.
Yeah, that's how I am. I just, because it's the easiest way to end justify the means is how I look at it with alcohol.
I'm going
to
get you a Talisker Storm. I bet you'd like that.
I doubt it. What did you say, Shannon?
There are ones I prefer to other ones.
Like right. I prefer tequila. It's easier for me to drink. That's how I feel.
That shit's to get drunk for sure.
Yeah, basically just to get it over with. And now the first time you had sex.
Man, it was like, it's a blip. To be honest, it sucks. Like it was literally a blip with a girl, I think I was, or maybe I was eighth grade. And not proud of it.
Fair enough. And then feel free to not answer this one, but Gilby Clark coined this term on the show. We say it every time a rock star comes on. We ask about, he called it rock star sex. Like the first time, like you go backstage and there's a girl backstage. I mean, you've been married for 20 years, so it had to be at least 21 years ago, I would imagine. But the first time you're like, oh, this girl's with me because I'm the singer of Ope.
Shit, yeah. That was probably every sex I had from getting in the band to getting married.
You know, he doesn't get laid a lot when he calls it every sex I had. That was a very...
Yeah, I know.
And then lastly, you're part of a cannabis company. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's cool. It's called Loop Pool.
Loop Pool. Yeah. And the kind of twist on it is like a percentage of the profits go to an artist fund just to help, you know, whatever you need, because it's tough being an artist, man.
That's great. I mean, you're an impressive dude. NFT shit.
You really are.
All this stuff. I guess I heard you own a piece of a brewing company called Sea Change. I don't know if that's right or wrong, but
I'm not an owner, but a big supporter. And like my partner is a partner there. Then, you know, look, all the shit we do, it's all about the independent creators. So these guys are like the best brewers up in Edmonton and Calgary, and they're independent and they just kill it.
And I'll say this, dude, like, you know, since I knew you were coming on, I just threw on, like, you know, the top songs on Spotify. And I'm like, oh, shit, these guys have like 12, 13 songs that I love. I forgot how many great songs you guys have. I've been a fan forever. So thank you so much for coming on the show. The album Spiritual Machines 2 is coming out soon. It's not actually out yet, correct?
No, but it's going to come out as NFTs early September, and then the album will come to later. So get on this NFT.
Bandwagon. And then follow you guys at Our Lady Peace on Instagram and on all the socials. And anything else we're not plugging that you'd like us to plug?
You plug too much. I love you, man. Thank you, Ralph.
All right, Bill, your plugs?
Yes, you can watch me and a much better looking person named Joanne Nosachinsky Monday through Thursday on Compound Media. It's called Morning because we're not that creative. But there is lots of exclamation points in it.
And I know I'm doing the show in a couple of weeks. When I come on, let's try some of whatever that alcohol you just said.
You're going to like it, I think.
Bring it into the studio. I'll try it. I don't care. I'll try it. Shannon, your plugs?
First, I want to say it's very hard for me to chime in and defend myself because of the audio setup here at the studio. But I don't show my boobs on Instagram.
I know you don't, Shannon. I knew that was coming.
And maybe people just follow me. They like me better.
Oh, that I agree with. You're a much nicer person than me, Shannon. There's no doubt.
And
if
you'd like to follow me on Instagram, you can follow me at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. And we have lots of interesting people, comedians, musicians, porn stars, reality TV people. And they share their own stories about bad dates, fights that they've had, physical altercations, and their experiences with the paranormal.
I'm going to tell you this, Shannon. I like the way you plug that show better these days. You've gotten much better at it.
Thank you. I've been working on it.
Yeah, it's much, much better. I like that. And now we're going to do this. We ask this every week. Do we think Rain believes in ghosts or not? Don't indicate. I have my answer locked in. Bill, do you have your answer?
I'm going to say yes.
Shannon?
I also say yes.
I also say yes. Do you believe in ghosts?
Yeah, I do, for sure. That's wild. Oh, yeah. I would have thought people don't think. I don't, but I absolutely do.
Your songs are too emotional, man. There's no fucking way. Don't believe
me. Right. Yeah. There's this place in Buffalo we play all the time. Totally haunted. They did one of those shows. Was there a couple times. It is insane.
That's cool. Well, that's good. Yeah. I'm sure Shannon would love to hear that story. So maybe we'll DM you to get your own Shannon show to do that.
Yeah. And marriage fights and ghosts. Let's go.
All right. So we add a song every week to the SDR show playlist. Let's pick an OLP song, an OLP song. Is there one that you want us to add to the playlist or just the new one or whatever?
Oh, yeah. Just, you know what it's like, Rob. New one, baby. Yeah.
All right. We'll add the new one. Stop Making Stupid People Famous, because you could hear Pussy Riot in there and the little more hip swingy beat that goes on the one. A lot of cool remixes of that as well out there. Follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast on health and wellness comes out every single Monday with the founder of Juice Press, and that is called The Good Sugar Podcast. My book on health and wellness to hit the top 100 on Amazon is out now. And is it. Thank you so much. We'll see you all next week on the SDR Show.
Been listening to the SDR Show.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.